Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:22 Pacific Summer Time. Today is June 3rd. Well, starting off in Asia this morning, the ASX was down by about 0.7%. Well, it's been pretty strong over the last couple of weeks, so a little bit of consolidation wouldn't be all that surprising. But it is definitely getting a bit of a tailwind from the fact that the Aussie dollar is a bit stronger. And also, well, you had the Chinese manufacturing numbers were positive yesterday. So, well, that's positive as well for Australia. Well, the Hang Seng was stronger today by about 0.9%. Well, if you look at the performance of the original Asian Tigers, well, then they all share quite a lot of commonality. Well, one of the reasons for that is that, well, they've got more developed economies, and, well, they've generally got a little bit steadier currencies. Well, obviously, the Hang Seng is pegged to the dollar, but, well, the Korean market was way off its low in here today to finish unchanged. The Singapore market and the Taiwan market are pretty positive as well, and Taiwan has been a relative strength leader. Well, that would suggest that there is the tide has turned for some of those markets. They've been sort of out in the cold for really the last few years, but they're now returning to positions of outperformance. Well, this was a positive day for India as well. You had the Nifty hitting a new all-time high. Well, part of the reason for that was because the central bank is talking about potentially lowering interest rates. Well, they had to hike them up when the rupee was deteriorating at such an alarming pace last year. Well, that helped to bring inflation under control. But, well, India's inflation problems really stem from structural issues. It's not so much about the currency or the weight of money. But because of the bureaucratic obstacles, infrastructure obstacles, regulatory obstacles to the smooth running of the economy, then it just inflation is just very, very difficult to tackle. So, well, let's see what the agenda is for the new government. If they make inroads into tackling some of those recalcitrant obstacles, then that could be very positive indeed for the stock market, because it would free the hand of the RBI to lower interest rates. Well, interestingly, the banking sector rallied more than just about any other sector when you had that election, a positive election result, and it moved from a position of really quite a steep underperformance relative to the wider market last year to a position of outperformance. Well, when we look at Europe, the banking sector has been underperforming for the last 6 or 7 weeks. Well, there's an awful lot of speculation as to exactly what is the ECB going to do on the 5th. Well, it's very much open to interpretation, but inflation in Europe has been below target for a considerable period. Now, the ECB has taken on an awful lot of additional responsibility in the last few years, but its core mandate, the one that's actually written down on paper, is that it has to abide by an inflation target. Well, more often than not, that's interpreted as attempting to reduce inflation to bring it below the target of 2%. But, well, what we have is a disinflationary environment, and you have recessionary type conditions on a whole swathe of the Eurozone. And, well, inflationary pressures in Germany also moderated in the first quarter. So the ECB is under pressure to do something about it. Well, there's a lot of people that are speculating that they may introduce a negative deposit rate on funds that are deposited with them by the banks. Well, the banks aren't really in a position to lend, and if they have to pay the ECB money to deposit their funds there, well, that's not going to be particularly good for them. Well, the ambition of that kind of policy would be to make them lend, to get them to go out there and seek a better return somewhere else. But it's very much open to question whether the banks can do that. They've got these stress tests that they're going to have to pass. Well, that would help to explain why the banks haven't been doing particularly well. Well, against that, the wider stock markets have, they were all pretty much weaker in here today. The FTSE was down about 0.4%, the DAX down about a third of a percent, and the Italian index down about 0.2%. And it was a pretty similar pattern for the wider market. Well, if you look at the Euro Stoxx index, it has paused in the region of the upper side of its range. It's probably not going to be able to sustain a breakout before we get some news as to exactly what the ECB is going to do. So we can probably anticipate another quiet day tomorrow and probably some fireworks on Thursday. Well, the UK's banking sector has also been underperforming. It's for exactly the same reasons as in the Eurozone, that the banks have got a long way to go before you could consider them healthy institutions once more. But at least the UK has got the benefit of a floating currency and only one economy to deal with. That's certainly been a competitive advantage. Well, in Wall Street today, the majority of markets were pretty much unchanged. The S&P is hovering here around the 1924 area and has been for the last few days. Well, I think that what we're seeing is that people are holding their breath. This is a liquidity-fueled bull market, so changes to the global liquidity picture are really where it's at. And the ECB's actions are going to be important. Well, the Bank of Japan's actions are equally important. Well, they announced that they were going to be buying in a couple of billion yen, 100 billion yen worth of bonds, reasonably long-dated bonds yesterday. Well, that's positive from a liquidity perspective. The ECB is likely to be positive on Thursday. But the Fed is tapering its injections of additional liquidity. Well, that represents a potential headwind. So the global picture is going to have to come be really very favorable in order to continue to lend an additional tailwind to the stock market. Well, generally speaking, what we've been presented with over the last year has been a pretty choppy advance, and that buying breakouts hasn't really paid. That you're probably much better off waiting for the pullback. Well, we're at all-time new highs. You could bet that the index is going to get to 2,000, but, well, that's probably as high as it's going to get, so that's an additional 3.5%. But the potential drawdown is probably more like 6%. Well, those aren't particularly good odds, which probably means that people are waiting for some form of catalyst, something to tell them that this is the time that they can continue to buy. And in the absence of that, then there's the potential for some additional consolidation. Well, in the commodity complex today, gold was a little bit steadier. It's been pretty weak and since that big downward dynamic a week ago today. And, it's going to have to support, demonstrate that it can find support. And that means it's going to have to post an upward dynamic before people can really be convinced that it is... that this $1,250 area really is an area of support. Well, silver was stronger today by about 6 cents, and it's hovering below $19. Well, this is the lower side of its range. And, well, an upward dynamic here would also confirm that demand is coming back in this area. Palladium, which has been the relative strength leader, was up by about $5 in here today, and it continues to hold that progression of higher reaction lows. Well, to round it out, platinum was down about $4. Well, that has unwound most of its earlier advance, and it's about mid-range now. But just like gold, it will need to post upward dynamics to really suggest that demand is coming back in the middle of the range. Well, U.S. Treasuries were additionally weaker in here today. They were down by an additional full point on the 30-year and a half a point on the 10-year. When you look at the total return on 10-year Treasuries, well, on a number of presentations that I've given to various organizations over the last year, I've described the total return on 10-year Treasuries as being the most important chart in the world. Well, when something that has been the most consistent chart in the world for 30 years becomes inconsistent, it tells us that something has changed. that the animating force that has been driving the imbalance between supply and demand for 30 years is no longer present. Well, that index had rallied almost all the way back up to test its high and is pulling back yesterday and again in here today. Well, that suggests that we're getting, this is perhaps the first lower high. Well, when you see an index that has been remarkably consistent, then it loses consistency and it drops below the 200-day moving average for the first time in decades and extends that decline and then comes back up and encounters resistance below the previous peak. Well, that's the foundation for a downtrend. That isn't anything, you can't really define it as anything else. And at best, that we're in a developing top formation. Well, the majority of people in the bond market are saying that, well, certainly those that are in the bullish camp are saying that there's way too much slack in the economy, that the kind of jobs that have been created are no good, and that the most of the improvement in unemployment has been because of a drop in labor force participation. Well, certainly some of that is true, but what you're also seeing is that technological innovation, the game-changing manner of the unconventional oil and gas boom, these are powerfully bullish forces. And the fact that the U.S. government's deficit is decreasing, well, that's been a bullish factor. But if the deficit is decreasing and growth is improving, well, that's not generally a recipe for why interest rates have to stay low in perpetuity. And that is how a number of fixed income investors are being positioned at present. Well, if we just simply lay aside all of the arguments and simply look at the total return on bonds, if you'd bought the dips in bonds for the last 30 years, you'd have made money. That stopped working last year. That's a clear and hard fact. Well, if the market has changed to that extent, well, then bonds are a pretty dangerous place to be. Rather than arguing about whether the bond bull market is over or not, they don't represent pretty good. They don't represent competitive value, and that you really are probably better served being in the equity markets. Well, if you look at the oil price, well, oil continues to range. It's been relatively inert for really much of the last 6 and 7 months. I haven't mentioned it in every audio because there isn't a great deal to say, but. Well, it remains here in the region, West Texas Intermediate, in the region of $100. And, well, it's generally supportive around that area. And it doesn't look like we're going to see it drop substantially below about $90. Well, at least for the moment. But over the medium term, well, it wouldn't be such a logical leap to anticipate that the sort of $60 area is probably a new floor, and that we're unlikely to see a major spike higher in the absence of a major development on the political front, or geopolitical front, I should say. Well, the US dollar, having been among the weakest currencies in the world for quite some time, well, has probably bottomed against a number of currencies, but particularly those that were strong in the last decade. Well, that suggests that we're going to have more currency variability in future. And it means that currency hedging is going to become that bit more prevalent. Well, I think with that, I will leave you for the afternoon and wish all the best to all of you.